As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Dun, 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 dun. Gutting the sacred cow. Dun, 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 dun. New episode now. Hey, gang. How are you? Whoa, boy. Oh, Nelly, as Keith Jackson used to say. Google that for all of you non-football fans. It's time for a brand new episode of Gutting the Sacred Cow. And wowie zowie, this one may upset a lot of people because Hal Rudnick has come on in his maiden appearance to do a Scorsese film that a lot of you are going to argue is one of his tops, and that is The Departed. That's right. Not a fan, but before we get to it, guttingthesacredcow.com every single day for more blog articles, for everything that we could ever imagine from us. Our merch store, still wide open for business. Come on, buy a hat, buy a t-shirt, you know, help a couple brothers out. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We're getting close to getting monetized. So just go click subscribe. And then if you want to, unfollow notifications. That's all we need. Just be subscribed. We don't care. And if you want to advertise with us, well, by all means, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com is a place to be. Without any further delay, it's time for Hal Rudnick to roll up his sleeves and try and take down the Departed.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go.
What's the score? Nothing, nothing. Who's winning? The Bears. Kevin Israel, name that film.
No idea.
God damn it. I know Hal Rudnick, our guest, with a big smile on his face. He knows the answer to that. Hal Rudnick for the steal, it is?
The Departed?
No! It is.
Oh, wait. Groundhog Day?
No.
What's the score? Nothing. Who's winning? Oh, Ferris Bueller.
Bingo!
Woo!
I was going to say, that's an easy one.
Yes.
Kevin Goatee, Kevin Israel, back with another edition of Gutting the Sacred Cow. You know it. You love it. Thank all of our fans. You guys and girls are the tits. We appreciate all of your love, sharing, 5-star ratings, and 2-sentence reviews on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Thank you so much. Today, our guest, Hal Rudnick. Hal, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on to the show.
Great to be here. You know, it's a daunting task to take down a sacred cow, a golden idol held aloft. But, you know, fuck it. Let's take her down.
That's the attitude we like, Hal.
And Hal, before we get into it, tell the fine folks what you're up to, where we can find you, any cool things you might be working on.
Absolutely. Well, you can find me on the socials at Hal Rudnick, H-A-L-R-U-D-N-I-C-K. Just doing some comedy, talking shit, talking movies, etc. on Twitter and Instagram. And then also, please, I'd love to plug my podcast. I host a weekly show with my pal Lon Harris called Binge Boys, where we talk about what's going on in streaming. We review a few shows each week and we do some comedy, just a lot of nonsense as well as reviews in there. And Lon Harris, he is the most knowledgeable person when it comes to streaming. He knows a lot more than me. I'm there to just like really just say a lot of stupid shit. And then you can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Hal Rudnick, where I'm doing a few comedy shows every month and doing some movie watch alongs and having a lot of fun there.
Nice.
We actually just got on Twitch not long ago. We're airing our episodes on Twitch. Has that been beneficial for you?
I've really enjoyed it, especially, we went through a worldwide pandemic recently and
I
disrobe. It's a lot. I'll talk to you about it offline. Fair. But the stage is closed and I do a lot of comedy and there was no place to go for live comedy. So early on or halfway through the pandemic or so, I started a Twitch channel to give some comedians I'm friends with and sketch comedians places to perform. And we've been having a ton of fun on there. And it's less stand up and more sketch comedy characters. There's a show that I've been co-hosting with a buddy of mine for a few years called Tournament of Nerds, which we do monthly. So a lot of funny shit going on twitch.tv/Hal Rudnick.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Was it the Comedy Channel run? Look it up. Google us. We're there. We're in a friend's channel. But right. Hal came on here to talk about not sketch comedy, not shenanigans, not comedy, not nonsense, not the Minnesota Twins and how they've never beaten the Yankees in a playoff series. He is coming here to talk about I would say it's a second tier Scorsese classic, The Departed, a 2006 release, a budget of $90 million, a haul of $291.5 million. Turn that into 2021 money. You bet your ass I did. $119.1 million budget, $385.2 million haul. Not too shitty, Kevin Israel.
No, that's some serious money. That's near superhero movie money. Yeah. Not good superhero movie money.
Yeah, that's like a Marvel bomb. IMDb, Hal Rudnick, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. What do you think The Departed got on the IMDb scale?
I'd guess 8.7.
Kevin Israel?
That was right around where I was going to guess. I'm going to go 9 flat.
8.5.
Ah, well done, Hal.
Thank you.
Rotten Tomatoes, 1 through 100. Kevin Israel, critic score, The Departed. What did it score?
I feel like the critics might have been a little harder than this on this. I'm going to say 73.
Hal?
93.
90 flat.
Wow.
Audience score, Hal?
94.
Kevin Israel?
I don't like his confidence. 86.
I don't blame you for not liking his confidence because he nailed that dead nuts on 94%. Two showcases. He has come here and pulled your pants down in three straight categories, Kevin Israel. Wow.
I can't win them all.
Quotes? You get your period yet? Go
of course. Yeah, of course that's what you picked.
No, I've got two more. Go save a kitten in a tree, you fucking homos. And every Boston accent I'm going to do is going to sound exactly like Bill Burr. And this is my favorite one. How's your mother? She's on her way out.
Ah.
Aren't we all? Act accordingly.
You son of a bitch.
Circle gets a square. Let me go to my co-host who I've always seemed to take the meat off the bone.
Ah, damn it. And that's a quote that I like. That's a quote that I've said before. Act accordingly. The other.
Hey, how's your mother?
The other two I have is no ticky, no laundry.
I wrote that down, but I said, I'll pass.
And don't move till you're numb.
That's a good one. Hal, what about you? Any quotes stand out at this one?
No, and I say no because fairly non-memorable when it comes to quotes. Those are all, you said it was you started off by saying it was a second tier Scorsese, and second tier when it comes to quotes. I mean, just think of all the great quotes from Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, this, his Academy Award winner, Baron.
I already like the fire you've got.
We're starting off with a sassiness that you can't buy from anywhere except a RuPaul's Drag Race perfume bottle.
Work.
Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
Take a guess who turned down playing the role of Costello or Queenan, offered both. Take a guess. Who turned down that role? Megastar, not going to shock you.
De Niro.
That is correct. Robert De Niro turned it down so he could direct The Good Shepherd, which was anything but good.
Wow, that was a bad.
The Good Shepherd was a little dry.
And a lot less fun.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg, not the first choice to play Dingham. I'd tell you what, I'll give you two guys initially considered. One of them, a Boston guy. Another guy, a Jersey guy.
Affleck and John Bon Jovi.
No, and I wish.
Bruce Springsteen and
really breaking Jersey down to the bare bones.
Neil Diamond and Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, God.
Wade Boggs.
It was Jason Veritek and Derek Jeter, born in Jersey. No, the answers Ray Liotta and Dennis Leary.
Oh, I'm so glad
he offered it to Ray Liotta.
I mean, Ray Liotta gets first crack at any Scorsese film after what he did for Goodfellas. I would suspect.
Well, I don't know if he gets first crack, but I would have loved to have seen Ray Liotta. And you know, I'll save my argument.
Please do.
I don't want to give it all away.
He gets first crack at Chantix, that's for sure.
Hey, oh yeah. And listen,
you know, he gets a first.
Be a good fella. Quit smoking and take Chantix.
You know what else he got a first crack at? A bed of nails, because that's what he falls down face down every night on to fall asleep. I have seen track and field fields with less digs in them than that face of his. My God. Marky Mark, by the way, nominated for Best Supporting Actor in this film. That is not a fun fact. That is just a side fact. But here's a fun fact. Want to take a guess what percentage of the budget, $90 million, was going toward the actor's salaries? What percentage?
Oh.
I'm going to say 75. I'm going to say 45.
50. And this is, okay, number four, Brad Pitt was attracted to DiCaprio's and Matt Damon's role, but decided to step back and serve as a producer to the film instead. Did not know that.
I feel like he would have been a little old at that point.
He's a little old to play Cliff Booth, but God damn it, I fucking
love. Oh, well, Cliff Booth is an American treasure.
No argument here.
It worked. One Oscar later.
And this is why Jack Nicholson, despite The Shining, is going to be one of my favorite actors of all time. Nicholson banned all Celtics merchandise during filming as he's a lifelong Lakers fan. That doesn't move the needle with me. But what moves the needle with me is he wouldn't wear a Red Sox hat. He goes, nah, the Yankees are one and the Lakers are two. He wouldn't wear a Red Sox hat. He said, fuck that. And that's why Jack Nicholson is a fucking treasure.
So instead he wore that stupid bucket hat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently there was some real friction on the set of Gone Girl.
Because Affleck would not wear a Yankee hat, and that's why
Affleck would not wear a Yankee hat, and David Fincher's like, what the fuck, dude? it's just for the character. And Affleck's like, nope, not going to do it.
That's exactly the kind of diva bullshit I would pull if I was ever in that spot. If you think I'm wearing anything Philadelphia Eagles or Boston related, you can take this job and shove it up your dick hole.
I can endorse that statement. You would definitely do that.
Are you a Giants fan?
Yeah. Yanks, Giants, Rangers, right down party lines.
Yep. There it goes. Otherwise, you're Mets, Jets, and Islanders.
Yeah. Which is, I call it team no hope.
Well, the Mets are hanging around this year.
Yeah,
the Mets hang around a lot of seasons, and then they just
they're in a shit division, guys. They'll probably eke their way to the playoffs and be a one and done. But who gives a shit? This is not Six Dixie the Fan with Mike Francesa. Okay, back after this.
Hey dog, what do you think, dog?
Well, I tell you how, Rudnick, you've come on to do the party today, there, buddy. Let's talk a little Roger Federer and Martin Scorsese, will we?
Good job, dog.
Back after this. Now let's go. Let me see if we have any Ask the Gutter questions. Ask the Gutter, our new section where we ask our panelists if the audience has any questions for them. Let's just go down and see if they have Ask the Gutter. Let's see. Do we have anything from the fans? From Zyphos, one of our biggest fans, Departed, that's just about the lowest of hanging fruit. It's a shit movie. Tell your guests to rip it to shreds. He chose it. They better. He wants to Snurts, Lord Snurts, at Lord Snurts on Twitter. Why are gangster films so damn long?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great question. You have to have the rise, the fall, the double cross. But I have a little tidbit saved for my argument.
Good.
With The Irishman, you had to wait till the guy entered an old age home. So, I mean, you have to see the gangster age out of gangsterism or die.
Right. And Martin Sexton at ML Sexton _WWAN. Ah, yes, The Departed. It's the film that made the term what the fuck. Part of my wife's and my vocabulary. I don't know how that film made its way into your lexicon in 2006, Martin. You seem like an older gentleman. That should have been around for quite some time. The film that gave headshots a more literal meaning. Insert shitty lame porno joke there instead. That's all we have for Ask a Gutter, guys. You need to get on your ball. I guess Hal Rudnick doesn't need anybody asking him questions because they already have enough confidence in Hal to
gut
the
sacred
cow.
Moo.
We do insert a sound effect of a cow mooing in post, Hal. Either you're a fan or you are just a soothsayer.
Now we can take that.
Don't need to do it in post. Thank you for saving 3.6 seconds.
Oh, yeah. I'm also, amateur Foley artist.
And now he has two coconuts for any parts that have a horse in this scene.
And also, I can wear them if we go to a Hawaiian-themed party.
Oh,
that's sexy.
Meow. Hal, the floor is yours, sir. Fire away with your arguments.
Okay. So not only is this a vastly overrated film, this movie has done a disservice to cinema on the whole. Okay? It has fooled, tricked, bamboozled, hornswoggled, swindled, fucked up the brains of movie lovers into thinking that this is one of Scorsese's best. It's the only film he's won an Oscar for. It's his only movie to win Best Picture. And people, Gen Y, Millennials, Gen Z, it's like many of their first introductions to Scorsese, and it poisons the well. It is a simplistic take on the gangster film that is way down. Like you said, second tier Scorsese earlier, which is like, thank you for like, you're already on the right track. Keep coming. I would go third tier. Here's a list of Scorsese's films that And this is an incomplete list because, fun fact, I have never seen Kundun or Silence. But here is an incomplete list of Scorsese films that are better because, hello, that are better because of the nuance, because of the quality of the filmmaking, because of the power of the story, that are better than The Departed, Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, Goodfellas, Casino, King of Comedy, Mean Streets, Age of Innocence, The Aviator, Wolf of Wall Street. That's a lot of Scorsese film. Oh, The Irishman. The Irishman is long, but that story wields power. The Departed, it borrows its story from the Hong Kong movie Infernal Affairs, obviously, and it doesn't improve on it. It simplifies it, but somehow it bloats it. It takes the story, which was Infernal Affairs was initially 101 minutes, and it turns it into a 151-minute slog. Additionally, it loses any, and it's second, third tier Scorsese because the story isn't told with any nuance, with any delicacy. It's like, see this bad guy? He's actually good. See this good guy? He's bad. Oh, okay. You get a, listen, we were talking a little baseball earlier. You know who's lost a few miles per hour on his fastball by the time he shows up in this movie? I hate to say it because this guy is almost a sacred cow, but Jack Nicholson, what movie is he in? Who is he in this movie? You know what? He was more truthful and realistic as the Joker. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? Yeah. Wait till they get a load of me. That line was more convincing than anything that Nicholson just hobbled through in this movie. I mean, it was like he was in a different movie. He was over the top. He was just doing classic Jack. When I show up, all I gotta do is classic Jack. I mean, like, just one of these, it's like, you know, Nicolas Cage. Like, Nicolas Cage has got a Nicolas Cage and a Nicolas Cage. Jeff Goldblum, I love him. But Jeff Goldblum, gonna Jeff Goldblum, gonna Jeff Goldblum. You know, Nicholson was just Nicholsoning because Nicholson was too old to do anything but Nicholson. Okay? And to tell, I think the coup de grace, just as far as how heavy-handed and the just lack of nuance, depth, or subtlety is, everybody's been waiting for it, The Rat. I mean, is that a joke?
Can I kind of interrupt you for one second? I have a question for you. Then
yeah.
Since you're all on Jack for his Jack being Jack, where do you stand on The Shining? Love it or hate it?
Well, I'm a big Kubrick fan. And the way they, you know, play with just like your mind and the filmmaking is fantastic. And I think like that was Jack becoming Jack. We were in peak Jack. Young Jack Nicholson was just a beast. He was like a thoroughbred. Now we're getting old Jack doing his old tricks. Like, you know, Jack. Here's a good comparable. Jack Nicholson is doing Jack in The Departed is like Al Pacino doing Al Pacino in Jack and Jill. Okay. Who wants a Dunkachino? like that. Seriously.
I can't take you seriously if you just made a Jack and Jill reference on this esteemed podcast. This is over. This conversation is over.
God damn it. But like compare the power of the mob boss played by Paul Sorvino in Goodfellas. Just quiet, understated, but went like when he had to get it. Like the acting there, that was some fucking chops. And that's another thing about the cast. It's like he cast all these name actors. And that's another thing that I felt like dumbed down and watered down the film. Look at Goodfellas. I mean, of course, you have De Niro, but Ray Liotta was not a household, was not like all over the place at that point. That was like a star-making turn for Liotta. Pesci was like, he's kind of like Scorsese's go-to guy. You expect some Pesci. And then you just have pros like giving these subtle, powerful performances. Not here, man. Like, I don't need to see Alec Baldwin show up here. Mark Wahlberg, he may have been nominated for an Oscar here, but his character is just a prop. Like, totally unmotivated, him showing up to murder Matt Damon at the end. Like, where did that come from? Why? He's going to risk his whole goddamn police career to murder this guy? Like, arrest him. Bring him in. There's going to be a camera somewhere that saw you go into that building. And let's talk about
one
more thing.
Booties. That said everything. He was wearing those booties.
So he's not going to leave a foot. He's not going to leave a footprint. But ballistics will catch up with him.
But that weighty boy band haircut could flail in the wind and his hair fall.
That was so 90s.
And that hair helmet.
Yeah, and no hairnet. Like he's about to serve like a prison fucking sloppy Joe. Where's that hairnet? That's a problem.
Oh, that was some gorgeous hair, Doug. Let me talk to you. You know, listen, I know we've become as a society a little more woke, and maybe they didn't appreciate it back then. But the way the one woman is treated in the movie, Vera Farmiga, I mean, what a fucking prop and plot device. Now, in the original Infernal Affairs, the two lead characters each had their own woman, or girlfriend that they were able to talk to and motivate different elements of the plot. Vera Farmiga is just this plot device, this basically just object that is with Matt Damon, but can't help herself but, you know, have sex with DiCaprio's character. And there's like no there. And she otherwise could have been a strong female character, but she's weak and a prop and an object. Other than that, so straightforward and like very, it's just glossy and the, and all of the name actors in there, they don't bring any depth and resonance to the film. And it's not even a great Boston gangster movie. You want to see a good Boston gangster movie? Try The Town.
I know it.
The Town, far superior. I mean, just, okay, let me ask you this. Can you remember one great action set piece in The Departed? No, they were all fine. They were just fine. Like the one where they're in that empty building with the elevator and they come out and the cops go, you know, very forgettable. The Town, come on, filled with like, so it's second tier, third tier Scorsese. It's second tier Boston. It's poison the well for film fans. It's bloated. It's heavy hand. It insults you with that rat at the end. You know, I used to follow this Twitter account. The title of this Twitter account was "Remove the Rat from The Departed." And it was like they were efforting to get the rat at the end, which is just as subtle as a brick to the head.
Well, you know what's funny about the rat? The rat runs in front of the Capitol building. You see it like it's right in front of the Capitol building, which suggests the message that it was trying to send. That wasn't the point. It was almost saying like they're the rats and their politics. The politicians are rats, like the Capitol is full of rats. But that's not what the movie was about. The movie was about just everybody in law enforcement was a rat. So I thought that was a weird image. And yeah, you're right. It beat you over the head with it a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to just reinforce the fact that I have heard people who are otherwise knowledgeable on film say The Departed was their favorite Scorsese film. And it's because it's just dumbed down filmmaking. I mean, comparing it to just a masterpiece like Raging Bull or Taxi Driver, which spawned so much character study in filmmaking. Yeah, it's a simplistic, overrated rat of a movie. There, I'll put a pin in it there.
My Lord. Hey, Hal, give me a number 1 to 10 for your opinion of The Departed.
6.
What? For someone who hates it, it's a 6?
I was not either. I was expecting a 4.
I was expecting a 3.
It's still Scorsese, so it's watchable. You know what? Because of the length, I'll take it down to a 5.
Oh, I just talked him out of the fucking... Usually that's the other job of them, but I didn't say a word yet, and he changes tune. God damn it, I'm influential. Kevin, do you want to go first, or shall I take the honor this time?
I don't have a ton of notes, so I don't mind going first, if you don't mind.
If you take my good ones, I want to fucking kill you. No, go ahead. All right, you have first. Go ahead. You have honors. Take it away.
So I saw this movie in the theater, and I loved it. And then I don't think I've watched it all the way through since I saw it in the theater. I've watched scenes of it because it's always on cable, and it does have some great moments in it. But this was probably the first time since I saw it in the theater that I watched the movie all the way through and with a real analytic mind. And the plot, I really like the plot of the movie. And it's funny, I didn't know that it was based off of another movie. And that makes a lot of sense because I do really enjoy that intrigue that they set up and the obviously completely unreal coincidence that these two guys were playing opposite sides and they just never crossed paths. I enjoyed that. And as the movie picked up pace, that tension built up, and definitely in the third act that it really got going. But when you step back from the plot and you take a little better look at the picture itself, the movie is kind of ridiculous. Every character is like a cartoon character in this movie. Oh. And they're all completely just two-dimensional characters who serve whatever singular purpose they were there for. Mark Wahlberg is my favorite example. He's nothing but angry. Nobody's that angry. I know angry people. We're comics. We all know angry. They're not that angry all the time. He's constantly angry at everybody about everything. And it's absolutely ridiculous. His introduction scene when they're talking to Leo and he just starts yelling at him. It's so you're trying to convince this guy to put his life on the line for you. And you're just shitting on his family and him and telling them he's never going to be a cop. And it's just, that was so ridiculous. Every scene he was in, he just got more ridiculous because he was never not that angry guy. It was just completely unbelievable. And then it just goes kind of downhill from there. Like Alec Baldwin's character is just this loud, obnoxious Boston guy who also serves no purpose other than just to get angry. And the only thing I remember about him was that he beats up the camera guy who didn't put a camera in the back. And it's just so like that wouldn't happen. Like none of that would have gone down that way. It's just all so unbelievable. The psychologist is the worst psychologist in the world. She should lose her license.
Yeah, she slept with her patient.
two patients.
Yeah, she slept.
Yes.
And then Matt Damon does to get her is shit on her profession. He meets her and just starts shitting on her. He's like, what do you do? Listen to cops cry all day? And be like, fuck you, asshole. I have a PhD, you dumb badge-wheeling piece of shit. What do you do all day? Instead, she's like, I'll fuck you. Like, what? How does that? That
was like nagging. She listens to cops and then fucks them.
Yeah, right. Right. That was.
She could have went to a townie bar and saved herself another 8 years of school to
right,
do that.
And right.
$100,000 in loans just by taking some Jameson shots off her tits in the bathroom. And Budweiser was like some fucking guy talks about unloading on a kid like Al Powell did in Die Hard. Cross reference. Eat a piece of shit there, guys. Ah, good
night. And Martin Sheen's character.
Yeah.
Was so weird. Like, was he supposed to be the good guy? Was he supposed to be nice? Why didn't he ever stop Mark Wahlberg? There's just that one scene where they punch each other, and then finally he's like, all right, enough. that was enough? How about when your fucking pit bull was attacking the guy you were trying to convince to be part of your program, your black ops program that also does not exist at the state police level in Massachusetts? That was that whole thing was just fucking ridiculous. But and the doctor was, and you're absolutely right, the doctor was just this tool there to be a woman and to get fucked by it. And that, and just to increase that coincidence that, like, not only are these two guys two ships passing in the night, but they both fuck the same lady. That's crazy, right? And it's like, that's bananas. And if she's supposed to be this well-trained psychologist, she would have picked up that Matt Damon obviously had some other shit going. He's just like, this is my job and there's stuff you can't know. She would have been like, I work with cops every day. You're doing something else. Like, there's something else going on here. Instead,
you know what this movie should have been called? Eskimo Brothers.
That's fucking amazing. Yes, you're 100% right. And the only thing this movie taught
me, that's fucking great,
is that Irish people are incredibly racist. That's what that was my takeaway.
And annoying.
Wait, haven't you ever been to fucking Boston before?
No.
But it's just so overdone. Like, they offend. I mean, they drop the N-bomb. I think it's like the ninth word in the movie. And the N-bomb drops. And then they just go after everybody else, the Puerto Ricans and the blacks and the Italians, and everybody's bad. But the Irish are good, even though all the Irish people in this movie are assholes. And I assume everybody's supposed to be Irish.
Don't forget going after the Asians. No tiki, no laundry.
Oh, right. The Asians. And he says that at a fucking they're like it's the Chinese government there with machine guns. And he's like, no tiki, no laundry. Like, you, what are you, crazy?
That's actually the
military. and so that brings to Jack Nicholson, whose character was just Hal was right, but I feel like it was almost more. I feel like Scorsese was like, hey, Jack, you know how you act in most movies? Fucking turn it up. Go all the way. We want no nuance with this character. We want no nothing. He's just a crazy fuck who does things that make no sense. And there's no explanation how this asshole became a crime boss. That guy would have never made it up through the ranks because he would have been killed by the time he was 18 if that's how he behaved. And then he had this girlfriend who just showed up every now and then and really had played no part in it other than for him to show that he can fuck like a hot girl, I guess. And then that scene that I, with his quote where he just throws the cocaine down, it's like, what purpose did that scene? That made no sense other than just to show he does drugs and fucks and he's crazy. Like, his character was so off the charts. Each of them was so, the only performance that I really liked was actually Matt Damon's. Matt Damon did a decent job of being this kind of torn character who was kind of an asshole, but then he starts to realize he wants a different life, and you really felt his tension and his anger. Leo looked guilty the entire time. If Leo's fate was actually making those faces in those situations, somebody would have been like, this guy's lying. Look at him. He's sweating all the time. He's clearly up to something. It was so batshit crazy how all of these characters were made out. Matt Damon's was the one that was passable, and I kind of felt for him. The scene in the elevator where he was going down with Leo and he's like, just kill me. I was like, that kind of got, like, I was like, he just gave up. Like, I kind of, like, he's a piece of shit and he just realized he lost. Like, that was a moment in the movie, and there were a few of them, but the whole movie was tied together with these batshit ridiculous characters. I like the plot. You're right. It's definitely too long. It's bogged down in just way too much of Scorsese being Scorsese and all of these characters being too much. But the characters were just crazy to me that I didn't realize on first watching, and probably most people don't realize how cartoonish all of these characters are and how unrealistic they are. But it was, and I agree with you. I didn't hate watching it. I still enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it almost like I was watching a cartoon. I enjoyed it almost like I was watching like this crazy, it felt like Alec Baldwin's character felt like he was doing an SNL character.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, you're going to be a cop. You're going to be a captain of a police force. And he's like, I know how to do that. And he just went, and it was just like it was an improv act.
It doesn't lift the gangster genre at all. It covers familiar territory in a slightly different way, but it doesn't add to the conversation. Like The Irishman, for its bloated time length, it does things like seeing Robert De Niro's character in decline in the old age home, doing his last rites, like preparing his final resting place and all this stuff at the end of The Irishman. Like, that's something in a gangster movie we haven't seen before. It adds to the conversation. Departed doesn't. Can I, and I know I already had my time to speak. I would love to add one more thing. I just looked up the, because The Departed, it won the Best Picture Oscar. But I just looked up the field nominated for Best Picture that year. Shitty, very bad nominees. Here they are. Babel, come on.
Ugh.
Like that overwrought nonsense. Letters from Iwo Jima. I mean, it's okay, but a little bit of a snooze. Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, terrible.
Would they ever give it to like a twee indie darling like that? No. And then Helen Mirren's great in this, but otherwise a forgettable movie, The Queen. So The Departed won because it was up against Babel, Letters from Iwo Jima, Little Miss Sunshine, and The Queen.
It wasn't a choice. It was a lack of options.
Yeah.
No. What it was is just one thing and one thing only, and that is a makeup call. That's what this is. You can't tell. This is, hey, it's an easy field, but boy, did we fuck up in 1990, and boy, did we fuck up in 1995. And that's what we're going to do, because we gave them two shitty penalties or two strike threes out of the zone. God damn it. We can't have Martin Scorsese walk around here shut out. We're going to give him one come hell or high water, and so be it. That's what this is.
Yep.
Okay. Agreed.
Kevin Israel, give me a number.
5-5.
5-5. I think you changed your score just to be close to Hal.
No. I was, that's exactly where I was when the credits rolled last night.
These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com every day, where you find blog articles, all more fun and whimsy and hilarity. You also can play our, I don't know, what can you play? You can't play any games, can you? We don't have that kind of high-tech wizardry yet. But what you can do, and if you want to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com, please hit us up and we can help build your business or brand. Notes.
Hey gang, we here on the show often use the expression, that doesn't happen. You know how we can say that with such confidence? Because we have an actual fucking scientist sponsoring this show. That's right, Mr. A.M. Compson is our new sponsor, and he's helping spread scientific knowledge with his new lecture series. Are you a nerd who thinks school is too tough? Go to A.M. Compson to find books on a wide range of science and mathematics topics. That's university-level teaching at a fraction of the cost. Are you a tough guy who thinks school is for nerds? Then go to A.M. Compson and pick up the night school version of these books, which has the same exact information condensed with punchlines and swearing. New material every few weeks. It's like OnlyFans, but their fathers are actually proud of them. So go to amcompson.com today to start learning science. That's amcompson.com.
Finding a Scorsese film without a Rolling Stones film is like finding a vegan who doesn't announce they're vegan in the first 10 minutes of meeting you. It just don't happen. 7 minutes in, and I'm already sick of two things: Boston accents and fucking bagpipes. Bagpipes, the worst instrument in all of mankind. I'll fight anyone who comes my way right now. Stop pretending to like them on St. Patrick's Day. No one buys that.
How do you feel about Dropkick Murphy?
Next. Mark Wahlberg is the anti-Chamber of Commerce for Boston. If he's not the poster for Boston, poster boy for douche nozzle in Boston, no one is. Hearing Martin Sheen say co-op makes my taint hair stand straight up.
Oh boy, that's an image.
You think that's an image? Alec Baldwin's Boston accent is more cringeworthy than his voicemail calling his daughter a thoughtless pig. Thank you. I knew I'd get a laugh on that one. But I love this ball-busting character in this film. Here's a quote I should have had. I'm going to go have a smoke right now. You want to smoke? You don't smoke, do you, right? What are you, one of those fitness freaks? Go fuck yourself. That's, I got a chuckle.
It's also hyper-aggressive, though.
Yeah, it is.
That scene with him and Mark Wahlberg, where they're just like, it's like,
yeah. What jobs have we seen in films where people get tax-free benefits besides being a snitch in The Departed or Kevin Israel's favorite film, which stinks, A Destroyer of Asteroids in Armageddon?
And none of them ever want to pay taxes again.
Right.
Ever.
Hey, I have a way around the Geneva Convention and at Guantanamo. Are you ready? Here we go. Get Mark Wahlberg to say the word microprocessors over and over until they eventually break down in 5 minutes or less. Microprocessors. It's like it's a vocal exercise of an opera singer. It made my fucking skin itch.
It was no Kate Winslet in Mayor of Easttown.
I didn't watch that. But I can only imagine. Here's something in real life that I would kick Matt Damon in his fucking ass. Matt Damon holding the elevator door open while trying to hit on Vera Farmiga. I would have booted his ass out of that elevator car in 5 seconds or less. Hit on her or get the fuck out. That's it. Vera Farmiga, sneaky attractive. Very cute in this as well as Up in the Air. Love that film. Nicholson, I like Nicholson in this. And if you didn't laugh out loud when he whips out a dildo in the porn theater, you probably find Wes Anderson funny, and I want nothing to do with you.
If I may interject,
you may.
I do find Wes Anderson amusing sometimes, but I will also
That's been the show, guys. Fuck off, Al.
From the way you were speaking of Vera Farmiga, it sounds like she's conjuring something.
Waka, waka, waka. I wouldn't go that far. She's cute. I don't know. All right. I get it. Move on. How many times have cops turned off the cameras in an interrogation room in real life? God damn it. If I was a cop, I would be Wayne Gretzky in that category. All right. Beating suspects in the face with a phone book would be my go-to. It doesn't leave marks. Matt Damon is fiddling in his pocket while texting during the microprocessors sting more than Pee Wee Herman did in that movie theater. And how did Martin Sheen get to be captain if he doesn't have an iota of policeman's intuition? If he sees a guy fiddling in his front fucking pocket, what, did glaucoma take away his peripheral vision ability? Jesus Christ, Martin, get a thicker prescription glasses. What's more conspicuous than Matt Damon wearing an American flag hat into a porno theater? He would have stood out less if he wore clan robes in and carried in buckets of Astroglide and popcorn.
I'm surprised it didn't just say police on it.
Yeah. You really, dude? You're trying to blend in? Good God. I've never been to a porno theater, but I'll wager this. Matt and Jack are doing way too much talking in a theater while dudes are trying to get their jerk on. Look, I can pee in a public bathroom without a fucking problem in the world. But if I need monastery-esque quiet to beat off, or need sounds of porno or house music, you never know. But and call back to jerking off in the shower, because we did other episodes. Because if you listen to music like I do while in the shower, make sure you have a playlist and don't have it on random, because nothing stops a boner faster than having the score of Return of the Jedi jump in as you're beating your meat in the shower. Thank you. True story.
TMI.
This is the Marky Mark of Marky Markiest of all films. The only thing missing from this film to make it the perfect Marky Mark film would be Marky Mark finger popping Leo's butthole on a roller coaster.
Oh boy.
Now I pop both your cherries.
That's a later joke.
Let's go to Busch Gardens.
Shipping Up to Boston by the Dropkick Murphys is one of 20 songs that white people lose their shit over, and I fucking hate. Other songs in this category: Footloose, Sweet Caroline, Brown Eyed Girl, and anything by Bruce Springsteen.
You always ruin it.
Fuck him.
I was with you.
I know you were. I thought I threw the last one just as a little. Martin Sheen falling off the building. Ready, Kevin? That doesn't happen. He would have been one big gelatinous mess, because that green members only jacket would have been second day period red. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, and all that blood shot out and like covered Leo, and then six they show streaks. The body, and he's just got a little blood on him.
Six streaks on his face. He looks like raw hamburger in real. Whatever. The guy who died on the couch that did not squeal on Leo, we all knew he was in on it. Because if he was really a mob guy and had proof that Leo was the snitch, he would have dined Leo out the minute they got in the getaway van. The second he got on the couch, hell, that would have been his rosebud moment. Listen, he's a snitch. We know that. All right. I enjoyed the almost Reservoir Dogs ending, and I waited, and I still waited for Matt Damon to yell, "Don't you point that gun at my fucking dad!" This film is solid. It's not Goodfellas, it's not Casino, but it's in the tier two. Wolf of Wall Street is better. They could not have casted this any better. Every actor turned in top level performances, especially Nicholson and poor Vera Farmiga. I didn't catch that. You guys did. Good on you. Despite the shitty accent and the shitty music, it does not pass the remote test. The remote test for you, Hal, if you're flipping around in cable and catch us at any juncture, you automatically stop and drop the remote. The answer for me is no. Only certain scenes, and then I move on.
This film, you know what does? The Town.
I like The Town.
I will watch the shit out of The Town.
I don't think I've ever seen The Town on
really?
TV.
Really?
I think I've watched over the pandemic, I watched The Town like two and a half times.
One of the most underrated gunfight scenes in cinema history.
I have to
so good.
But I disagree. The Irishman is a fucking snoozer. It takes two thirds. It's not good. Drags way too much. And it finally got good when Joe Pesci does he's gone. And there's nothing we could do about it. That moment in the restaurant. The Irishman was boring. I give this film a 6.5. I can't argue
with either of your ratings.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Enjoyable at times, but okay. But you're right. Everyone overvalues this. Everyone puts it at the top. And to that I say nay, sir. Nay, ma'am. It's Goodfellas, it's Casino, and then it's a vicious dogfight for third place.
I mean, Raging Bull and Taxi Driver. Don't sleep on those.
We did Taxi Driver on this very podcast. Good. I put it in second tier for him. It's good. Ah. I put Mean Streets above that one, above Taxi Driver. How about that?
Mm-hmm. I'm not so mad at that.
Now it's time to hear what those assholes who wear elbow patches and use a lot of words that we don't really find all that appreciative in this film, this podcast. And that is time for the Critics 5-Star Reviews.
Critics 5-Star Reviews. Critics 5-Star Reviews. Critics 5-Star Reviews.
Just might be Scorsese's most complexed. No, that's right, right? I'm copy and pasted. These guys can't edit. Most complex, well-balanced gangster flick. Complex. Like taking a masterclass in filmmaking and ensemble acting. For 150 minutes, The Departed delivers a visceral punch you're unable to dodge. It's the best American crime film since Michael Mann's Heat. Heat is excellent.
Jeez. How dare they mention it in the same breath as Heat?
I agree. Yeah. The definitive Boston Irish mob movie of our era was made by an Italian from Queens.
And Affleck is not an Italian from Queens. The Town. God damn it.
There's a lot of tough talk from tough men in this testosterone-fueled thriller as the thin blue line disintegrates amid gritty give and take in William Monahan's excellent script. Oh, by the way, I have an answer why Leo DiCaprio was probably a little bit out of it in a lot of these scenes. In between takes, he was probably going knee deep in Barbara Fowley. How about that? Critics, 1-star reviews.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews.
Scorsese claims to be appalled by the violence in life and in his own films, yet he continues to glamorize sociopaths. Where has he said that he's appalled by violence in real life? I want sources. As in his remake of Cape Fear, Scorsese has mucked up a B-movie he professes to love, producing something full of twists, but devoid of that lovely, fluttery, rare thing. Surprise. I think Goodfellas leaves this for dead. Absolutely for dead. No disagreement amongst this trio.
Mm-hmm.
Redolent of four-letter words, Scorsese's flatulent Boston Massacre doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Ha!
Yeah.
Tons. You see what son he did of a there? Bitch. It's easily his worst film since Cape Fear. How bad is Goodfellas does Boston? So bad that even Nicholson is a deadly bore. Was Cape Fear bad? I think it's overrated. I think De Niro's amazing, but I wouldn't call it bad.
Yeah, I enjoy Cape Fear. Like that's another one that I watched not too long ago, and it holds up. Nolte is all right. Yeah, it's not. I mean, as far as like Scorsese, it's not his next level.
No,
but it's not terrible.
I would say though, De Niro is an iconic character.
Yes.
In that film.
Oh yeah, come out wherever you are.
All that and then some. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because of that character, they talked about him playing Wolverine at one point.
Oh, wow.
They didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in the 90s.
Well, thank Christ.
That's funny.
Although he is a perfect height for Wolverine, though.
Well, yeah, that was part of it.
Amazon 5-star reviews.
Amazon 5-star review the ooze. It's time for Amazon 5-star reviews. 5-star reviews.
Painfully breathtaking. I'm almost taken out of the movie because the acting is so true. This is a perfect cast, perfect chemistry, perfect story. Ironically, I abhor violent movies and gory movies. I can't stand cussing. Here we go, Kevin Israel. And especially taking God's name in vain, including Jesus Christ. I don't like nudity and sex in films. It was because of the cast I was willing to, quote, push play just a few short months ago. And then it was some of the raw, intense veracity from beginning to, well, it's still playing at some level in me that has drawn me in and refuses to spit me out. The story is beautifully layered with tensions, brilliance, and simplicity, clever and uneducated, avenge and revenge, right and wrong. And I, the intruder, all this, the closer representation of a social construction as compared to the vivid reality before me, am left to struggle with my own moral compass while holding these tensions in paradox.
This dipshit needs to get a room with the Departed.
Yeah.
Did he submit that for a paper in college? What was?
I'll quote the waitress in Swingers. Hold on, Voltaire.
Nice.
Thank you. I think this might be the third or fourth time I purchased this movies. My adult kids keep walking off with my DVDs. Your adult kids are fucking freeloaders. Kick them out of the house already.
Yeah, right.
But this is the first time I've watched it in Blu-ray. Ooh, they're moving on up. So crazy that I have never gotten tired watching it. Amazing acting, incredible characters, brilliant dialogue, gob-smacking plot. If this DVD also goes missing, I'll be buying yet another copy because it's one of the best movies ever, period. Thank you, Mr. Scorsese, for your genius. Signed, Jeff Paul. It's our buddy who was in The Irishman.
Ah, oh, gotcha.
Probably the best mafia movie ever made.
Oh, shut up.
Wow.
This film has conflicting characters that illustrate the themes it presents exceptionally. The pragmatic Nietzschean philosophy that is the bedrock of Jack Nicholson's character contrasts sharply with the others who value justice, survival, and making something of themselves. While about crime, this film captures the philosophical overtones of American business and justice perfectly. Plus, the one-liners are tattoo-worthy. I like to tattoo blowhard douche nozzle on this queef's head because he's trying to appear smarter by saying Nietzschean philosophy.
Yeah, come on.
Let's add that with zeitgeist.
Yeah, get over yourself, pal. How's your mother?
That is that. You know what that guy is? That's the guy in the bar in Good Will Hunting where Matt Damon undresses him and then gets Minnie Driver's phone number.
How do you like these apples? How do you like them apples?
Next one. This is a masterpiece. One of the one-star reviews compared it to City Heat. That should let you know that fellow's taste.
I like that. I wish there was more of that. Reviewers arguing with other reviewers.
Amazon one-star reviews.
Amazon one-star reviews.
This has to be the worst fucking movie you can find. Was looking for something like City Heat with Clint Eastwood. And Burt Reynolds. Oh, fantastic. First one under the one stars. You go, oh, this made my job a lot easier trying to hunt, because I had to hunt that one down. But boy, was I surprisingly disgusted. You get at least a half dozen or more actors in quotes. What the fuck is that? Those are all top tier actors. Shut up. All trying to be the best rated at using the F word in their monosyllabic dialogue. Had to get hammer out after just 10 minutes of watching with mute button turned off. Someone's trying to be cute.
All these people who get so horrified with it, there's always, every movie that has a lot of cursing, there's always somebody who reviews it and it's like, all these people saying the F word, where do they live? I worked at a law firm and I heard they would say fuck like it was, I'm surprised they didn't work it into their legal papers. They said fuck so much. Yeah. Like, where do these people go that they don't hear people cursing?
The Morbid Tabernacle Choir.
What are they, yeah, bronies? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Bronies. Hey, don't put Starlight on my asshole, you fuckface. I went periwinkle. Where did I lose my spot? It just kept getting progressively nauseating. If you use or tolerate this kind of trash mouth talk at the dinner table, Kevin Israel, then this movie is for you. Movies as you knew them years ago are all over and gone. Be warned. Hope you're not in the 79% who think this five-star material. Hope you think this is not five-star material. It must suit your vocabulary perfectly. Signed, Meryl Streep.
Fuck yeah, it does.
That review makes me like the movie more, yeah, unfortunately, just because that guy's fucking holier than thou. You know, shut the fuck up and eat shit. How's your mother?
Hey, this cunt's above using the F word, huh? You think it's too smart to outrun a bullet, huh? You fuck.
Rat-faced bastard.
Gotta tell you, I wish I could get the time back that I spent watching this movie. They tried too hard to incorporate subplots that they missed. What was the point of Matt Damon getting killed in the end of the movie? Oh, I don't know, the entire fucking point? The good and the bad sleeping with the doctor. Nobody is who they say they are. Boy, will they hate The Prestige if they ever watch that film, right? It's supposed to make a good blot. I would rather watch Jason Bourne again. Now I know where you stand, and your opinion, sir or madam, is cast away like yesterday's newspapers. And again and again and again to watch this movie. I am glad I rented it instead of purchasing it, and I wish I'd saved my $3.99. It was really that poor.
Sorry, you had a bad red box.
This next title I had to include it, which I rarely do, but I had to, is Lick the Toilet with Your Tongue.
Oh my God.
Such filthy language in just a few short scenes. I thought I was sitting in a gutter as these actors spewed out verbal vomit from their mouths. Wouldn't vomit be already from your mouth being verbal? I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time. Signed, The Ghost of Bernie Mac.
Did my mom write that? I think it looks like something my mom would write.
Rhoda Israel. Yeah,
your mom loves some Bernie Mac too, right?
She's going to come out, I whip a motherfucker's ass. I can't do a good Jewish woman. If you could do that, that'd be funny. Y'all motherfuckers don't scare me. Hey,
you motherfuckers don't scare me.
You just don't understand. Movie was probably good, but I didn't realize I had 48 hours to watch it. I read 30 days to watch, and I thought I had 30 days. But once you start, you only have 48 hours. Dang. Hey, Napoleon Dynamite, why do you need 30 days to watch a 2.5-hour movie? Who writes dang anymore? The film.
Same people who say cussing.
Oh, yeah, the worst. The film plays all of its exploitative cards. It's gratuitously violent. Its characters are stereotypes. Its jokes, it's apostrophe. No, thank you. ITS. You learn possessive pronouns. Are vulgar, and its message celebrates hypocrisy. The film is filled with anti-Irish cliches that seem intended to convince the new American masses that they, too, can survive by hook or crook. If you value your time or money, spend it on a film that portrays the value of honest police work and the futility of gangsterism. Signed, Seamus McBlarney Stone.
You should watch Chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Cops. Last one. Not my cup of tea.
short, pointed.
Oh, to the point.
But one star for Not My Cup of Tea, that's more of like a 2 to 2.5, maybe 3 star at most. But one? Okay. Kevin Israel, did Hal run to gut the sacred cow?
I'm going to give this a caveat before I say it.
Ah!
A gutting for us is proving that a movie is overrated and overhyped. You know, I don't think you necessarily have to prove that it's a shit movie, but this movie is a very highly overhyped movie. And I think Hal did do the job of proving that this movie does not deserve the accolades that it gets, and it does not deserve the position where it stands in the hierarchy of films, and especially of gangster films. So in my opinion, yes, he did gut the sacred cow.
Yes. Well, slow down. Yes. This is a two-man jury. I think this film, this happens a lot, so don't take any hurt feelings. It guts itself. It does itself. Whereas you made some good points. Don't want to be a dick and make it go to an audience vote.
No, because I think if you think it guts itself, then I think he still did his job.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's one of those you just sneeze into an open mouth and it fell over and collapsed with an embolism.
And he's got a cute dog, so
yeah. No, listen, it's good. Again, this is the ultimate makeup call in film fucking history. If this came out before Goodfellas, then no chance would this get, you know, maybe Nicholson or Damon gets a nod. I don't know. But the fact that I got to look up what Casino and Goodfellas lost to, because that's a fucking tragedy.
Yeah, right.
That's.
And did you say Wahlberg did get Best Supporting Actor?
Nominated.
Oh, no. I can't even believe he's nominated.
That's horseshit.
His character was ridiculous.
I liked the character, but there wasn't enough of him. It's like Alan Arkin winning for fucking Little Miss Sunshine, the aforementioned piece of shit. Look,
he needed something. Oh, yeah. But you know what? Maybe you're right. He just needed, if he's going to be that angry, he needed a reason to be that angry. There was just no reason behind it.
Can I write Baldwin's pit bull on a leash?
Can I write some fan fiction? He's the only cop that Vera Farmiga didn't fuck in that precinct.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Or she laughed at his dick size. Said, "That's a wicked small cock." You know what? I've seen a microprocessor bigger than that.
Oh,
that's what we do here, kids. We call back. Hal Rudnick, it's been a blast. It's been great. Shout out all your information again, where we can find you, what you're up to.
Yeah, find me on the socials at Hal Rudnick, HALRUDNICK. Check out the Binge Boys podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Listen, when you're done listening to that week's episode of Gutting the Sacred Cow, then scroll on down to Binge Boys and hear me and Lon Harris shoot the shit about what's going on in streaming. And then we do just a lot of comedy on there as well. And yep, you can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Hal Rudnick. And fellas, super fun engaging in some discourse, some filthy fucking discourse about this potty mouth movie, The Departed. Listen, it's watchable, but it's not fucking top tier.
At least Anthony Anderson and his gap teeth got shot as well in this film. He annoyed
the
me.
Fact, I, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. The fact that he made it into this movie was shocking.
Come on, they couldn't have an all-white cast in Boston.
There's a lot of great black actors out there, but Anthony Anderson was not one I would have expected to be cast in this movie.
On the heels of Transformers or on the eve of Transformers? I don't know.
I ate all the donuts. See, I ate the donuts, so I'm not guilty.
Jesus Christ. Kevin Israel, what are you up to, pal?
Check me out at kevinisrael.com. I actually updated my calendar, so you can find out everywhere I'll be. And by the time this airs, you can check me out on Lyft Comics on the LOL network with Kevin Hart. And that should be dropping. It'll be dropped by then. And yeah, just keep giving us those 5-star reviews and those 2-sentence 5-star ratings and those 2-sentence reviews. They really help and they make Kevin Goatee really, really happy. And he always texts me and I can feel his happiness. So if you want to make a little boy happy, just leave us a 2-sentence review.
As Bluto said in Animal House, don't cost nothing. KevinGoatee.com for other shenanigans and whatnot. You can, of course, as Kevin Israel said, guttingthesacredcow.com. And we love you to subscribe to us on YouTube. We're getting close to getting monetized. Why not help a couple brothers out? You know, and if you like what you hear, I know you do, tell a friend. That's the best compliment we can have. And join us on social media at GTSC Podcast, where you can ask our panelists questions that you want us to ask them. And that's that. Guys, this has been a fun episode, right?
Was right? A lot of fun. Great job.
Hell man. Yeah. I think you got to give a little bit more love to Raging Bull. I think we need to put a little respect on Raging Bull's name. It's kind of a masterpiece. I'd rank that and Goodfellas, I feel like, are 1-2.
As I like Hal taking this goes. To the end.
Yeah. You hear this?
Oh, I mean.
You hear this? Your mother sucks dicks in hell. Raging Bull. Okay.
The Exorcist.
I thought it was Raging Bull. We're going to cut that. All right, kids. We're going to see you. I thought that was the line in which we're doing the funny phone call in Raging Bull.
Oh, maybe. But sure in The Exorcist,
your mother sucks cocks in hell. Yeah, that's a line.
Yes.
You hear this? Your mother sucks dicks in hell. I might have fucked up the last part of that quote. It's all getting cut. Who cares? Kevin Goatee. Kevin is here. Hal Rudnick, you've been a gem. We like you. We'll see you around, folks.
Thanks, fellas.
Peace.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.